Welcome to Swine Time Podcast here at Pipestone. I'm your host, Dr. Spencer Wayne. I am one of the swine vets on staff here. I'm also one of the owners of Pipestone Holdings, and I'm here with two guests that are also partners of mine and people I get to work with every day here at Pipestone. My guests are Dr. Barry Kirkhart and Mr. Justin Roloffs. I'll let them introduce themselves and what they do in their role here. But our topic today, though, that we're going to get into with those guys is a broad one that could go in a lot of directions. I don't know what to expect. But the topic is how to get into pig farming, and it would be generally geared towards younger people out there interested in pig farming and what are the how-to steps and obstacles to doing that. So, Barry, why don't you introduce yourself first?
All right. Thanks, Spencer. Yeah, I'm Barry Kirkhart. I'm a veterinarian and one of the partners here at Pipestone, and my primary responsibility here is to be the president of the Pipestone Management Company.
And I'm Justin Roloffs. I've been with Pipestone now 5 years. Time flies. I'm honored to be a partner with Barry and Spencer today, and I work as the chief financial officer for a management company and really spend a lot of time with our shareholders.
Okay, so because of terminology and just people might be confused over time, they've heard, oh, Pipestone system is a common term that gets thrown around. You just said Pipestone management. Now that's just for our audience to understand, what does that mean? So they know kind of what your role is, president of Pipestone Management, what does that mean?
Yeah, so really, Pipestone system was never really a registered name. It's kind of a name that just kind of stuck. But Pipestone Management would encompass all of our sow management and our grow finish management responsibilities. So for myself, Spencer, I'm responsible to lead the sow management team, our space management team, and then also our construction business development. Yeah. So it's more encompassing. It's not just sows. It's all our management company associated businesses tied together.
And for me, that means managing the shareholders' monies and businesses of those 70-plus companies and 600 shareholders and reporting to those.
Yeah, so, and just tail on both those, if somebody's listening, like just to clarify, 600 entities out there, family farms, that raise pigs, corn, soybeans, other things too, have entrusted you guys with their money to manage their money and their asset and run their farms so they can receive pigs in turn from the sow farms and farm those pigs, raise those pigs at home.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So the topic today, getting started in pig farming, geared towards younger people. I don't even know where to start on this. So why don't I just turn it over to you, Barry. What would you say? When you've seen young people start, the people you've known, how has that occurred?
Yeah, I think great question. And for a lot of the young people, they've had families involved with the pig business, and so that was their attraction. And so that's a great way to get involved with the pig business, is to follow people that you know, trust, your family members that are in the business, learn the business from them, and follow their path. Now, there's a lot of young people as well that have interest in pig farming that might not have that opportunity. And so those people, I too think, should be encouraged to participate in the pig business, and if their goal is to own pigs, to pursue that. And to really achieve that goal, if you don't have the family path, is really, I think, to find people that are involved in the industry, that are very knowledgeable, that can help educate that young person and help show them the way to be a pig owner someday, or a real estate owner of a pig facility, say a finishing barn or something. Mm-hmm. I really think that it's an opportunity for a lot of folks. And I would encourage, if that's a path young people want to take, find people that can show you how to get there. Mm-hmm. And one thing I like is I always encourage young people, don't hang around the people who tell you how you can't do stuff. Hang around the people that tell you how you can.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, it's a learning through osmosis. If you want to be in it, find those people that are in it and then are good at it. And to Barry's point, really enjoy it, right? And I've seen a lot of young people, including myself, get successful and grow in those kind of roles, whether it's owning livestock or being aligned like we are in management.
Yeah. So just interesting. You said the family path.
Yep.
So family path, in one sense, can look like this. My dad farms. I'm the only child, only guy who wanted to stay at the farm, whatever it might be. And then it transitions to me, and I got family equity to do it, which is probably fairly common for a lot of the situations. But in other ways, it's the way you gotta network. You gotta align with people. If you don't have family money available, saving, being crafty, aligning with people, what are ways to access capital if you don't have that family backing that allows you to get into positions where you can own, manage, do things involved? We didn't say pig ownership, we said pig farming, so it doesn't have to be pig ownership, but what are the right. what are the ways that
there are some unique that? There are some unique, and we do have shareholders in our system today where they have unique relationships, whether it's there's not another generation coming back and a younger party found alignment with a family that doesn't have that next generation, and they find their way into business ownership over time. So that can happen. That's a unique way that we can help make that happen. It takes a lot of trust between individuals, but it can work that way. And then be in line, not necessarily in ownership, like myself, right? And Barry, as we work every day with pig farming families, that's something we love to do.
Yeah, I think just to add on to that, you know, the thing I think about for some of these younger folks who wanna be involved in ag and maybe have a passion for pigs, would really like to raise pigs, but don't have the family path. I would really encourage them, because to Justin's point, we know 600 family farm operators, and for everybody listening, there aren't 600 family operators that have a family succession plan because their kids are successful or doing other things and don't want to come back to the farm. But of those 600 family farms, there are farmers who I believe are willing to transition the farm to another generation that may not be related, but it takes commitment, trust. The young people need to gain knowledge on what they're doing and be competent, not only operators, but business people. And that shouldn't scare anybody away, because guys like Justin, myself, you, Spencer, we can help those young people build those confidence levels, and the producer will do that. And then if you develop the trust, there's opportunity for those young people who maybe don't have the family path to connect with a farmer, a producer who would really love to get that person introduced and have a way to transition that farm or that pig operation to the young person. So I just think about when I was younger, I maybe thought there wasn't really a way to raise pigs for Barry unless, you know, you went and really started from ground zero. But today I think there are ways. I think today there's opportunity for the people who are really committed to doing it. And then for the young people, we all started with nothing. And for the young people, the advantage you have is time. And so just because you think you can't because you don't have a bunch of money in the bank, you have time. And time is your best ally, and that will allow you to do some things. So time, commitment, trust, confidence. If you really want to raise pigs, I think us and others and farmers can help you find a way to do it.
Yeah. Just thinking of like the, just look at our company and the folks we get to work with, and the human capital, the people, the personality, the person that's ambitious, what they are able to do. I mean, I'm thinking about somebody just in the room here that walked out, and very capable, power in that. So an individual young person that wants to do ambition, like just throw some characteristics out there, things to value and pursue in your life. Ambition, education, so you're basically educating yourself on what's going on so you're not naive. You better understand how lending works. You better understand how money's going to flow into your cost of production, how it even works to begin with, whether that means going to school or not. Networking and relationships, got to be that you should develop that, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So like the situations that are not traditional, you know, like I got to find somebody that I think is honorable, that I can work with, you know, nurture those things. So networking and relationship building. What am I missing? I said just having a pile of cash would be nice, but short of that, what are the things, short of the money thing, what else can people say that's valuable? I want to develop that piece of myself that makes this happen.
I think you did a nice job summarizing that, Spencer. It's really passion, commitment, and I think you said it there, networking or resources. If you really are serious, whether you want to be a pig farmer, or whether you want to learn how to be in the wine business, or whether you want to learn how to do something, you need to gain a relationship with people that are doing it, that are, I would say, high integrity, high quality people that are willing to invest in young people and show them the way and learn the way. So, and those people, when they find the young people that we're talking about, most of those people will help find them a way to get them to where they want.
Yeah.
And really, it's a DNA thing I think some people have and some don't, and there's no problems with this. Some people want to be owners, some people don't. But if you're a young person, don't say that you're never going to be an owner because you don't have a lot of money or your family can't set you up. That I don't subscribe to. You can be an owner. You just need to commit to what you want to do, pig farming or something different. Get really, be a good student of it. Have good leaders. Learn from them. and don't be shy about sharing with them your ambitions. Mm-hmm. The worst thing you can do is not share your ambitions. Because yeah. most people know if you want to do something, they'll help you get there.
Mm-hmm. I don't know who said it or where I heard it, but what you're the average of the 10 people you hang around with the most or something like that. And I don't know, I'm screwing up the quotation of it, but you know, hang out with good people, like whether it's figure out where it works so you can work with those people or be social with them or get connected with them, because you'll learn things from them. And like you said, pretty strange situation where somebody you've been talking to in a formative relationship that doesn't want to help you. Okay, so I was just thinking, you mentioned the family path, and that would be a pretty common route, and we see it all the time around us with our clients. What's the, now if this is how to get into pig farming, how not to get into pig farming might be a question, like how to do it right or how not to do it wrong. On the family path, it can go wrong. What makes family path go wrong? Just to kind of, for somebody that's maybe got the family path in front of them that's listening, like, oh, I'm in a family farming business, I'm going to succeed, to ascend to basically taking over a family operation. What would get screwed up in that?
I think you have to make sure as the young person you have the passion for doing it, first of all, because that's going to take you a long way. I think beyond that, it's going to be finding your mentors. Who's going to be your mentor outside of maybe it's just mom or dad, right? Who's going to help you lead and learn? Because with every generation, the farm changes, right? So you don't want to get stuck in a path where you go down versus mm-hmm. up.
You think it's important, like you said, mentor, and I've watched family situations where the son gets out of high school, maybe doesn't even go to college anywhere, but starts farming and never has to ever have a different boss other than his dad. And then it is never accountable to any other kind of working situation, and it goes badly, where you think, oh, this guy's never learned discipline or different things that you would have learned if you worked outside. How important is it to get work experience and life experience outside of the family business if you're going to come back?
I think it's extremely important just to understand business structures, how they can be different than what you grew up in, right? It's something that I have learned a lot about in my life, having grown up on a family farm and just transitioning to my life being a lender and then now being in management and CFO role. I think it's pretty important, but not impossible to overcome as long as you're aware of your situation, right? That, hey, I haven't done that. I haven't gone the path of getting work experience elsewhere. If you have the right mentors and the right leaders outside of your family or your operation, it can be successful.
Okay. Yeah. But I think just kind of related, I could see, you know, we all see a lot of different operations. And I would say Spencer, you call it the good and the bad, right? What's the good transition? What's the bad? It seems like for good transitions, the younger family members have opportunity for ownership sooner than later, right? Start transitioning that ownership and risk, but also reward earlier than later. And then the other thing is in the good, the next generation's allowed to make decisions. And ultimately, when you go to the farms, it's kind of fun when you hear about the young, new addition to the farm, and they're responsible for the hog operation, or they're responsible for the cropping operation. It's not, you know, senior generation or dad is responsible for everything. And yeah. Next generation is the worker. No, the next generation, he has this responsibility. I got this responsibility. And that's what's fun to see. Transition of leadership, transition of ownership and financial risk and reward early seems to be the key today, because otherwise, sometimes I think, in some cases, time gets away, and one day they wake up, and it's like really hard to bring the next generation in because we waited too long.
Yeah.
And that time when you're younger, when you transition, that's the great time to learn.
Yeah.
You really don't learn until you get into that fire of having to operate the business.
Yeah. So the message you just gave is almost a bigger message for the older generation, if they're listening to this, to recognize that, because the younger person can't take it from you if you're not willing to give it, or it gets really ugly. So it's got to be both ends to shift that.
Just think of all of us. Our jobs, we all have different responsibilities, right? The most fun things are the things that we're actually responsible for, and we have to do other work where you have to do it to be part of the team or take it for the team. But, you know, the fun parts for all of us are when we're responsible and accountable for something.
Okay. A couple words, kind of contrast, and just tell me what you think more important. Maybe they're stupid comparisons, but hard work versus intelligence. How would you rate those two things in a young person getting started?
Well, I think both are important.
Right. But
I think for anybody to be successful today, I definitely believe you got to be a hard worker and dedicated to be an owner. And then you also, I would say, I don't know if you call it intelligence, but committed. You got to be a good student of what you're trying to do.
Yeah, I agree. I would build off that. The hard work is really important, because if you have that hard work and that commitment, you can learn and you can become intelligent. You know?
And the best thing is everybody's capable of hard work.
Mm-hmm. Okay, humility versus ambition. How would you frame those up? You got a young person that says, I want to do this. Because we didn't talk about
it. It's a delicate balance on that one. I think you have to have both to some extent, right? But if you only have ambition and you can't ground yourself in humility every once in a while, it will not work out well.
Yeah. You need a balance for sure. And you need to be strong. You need to be ambitious, not be afraid to take a risk. And the nice thing here, I'd say this to the young people. The good thing is when you're young, you can take the risk. And I don't mean like being stupid, but I mean like, you know, invest. For example, you have an opportunity to invest in a $800,000 wean to finish barn because you have a person, you know, that's committed to putting their livestock in and committed to making you the payments, and them and the bank have confidence in each other, and that results in confidence in you, and you wait your whole life to make that one decision. I would just say, for young people, I'd say, go for it.
Yeah.
I mean, 95% chance it'll work as long as you do a good job. There's always risk it might not. But if you're 28 and it doesn't work, you're 28 years old.
Yeah.
You want to be doing that when you're 28, not when you're 78. And so you really got nothing to lose. And so if you have those opportunities, try and find yourself a path to say yes, not all the reasons to say no.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm just thinking, you know, with you, Barry, you've done well on many things. Not everything's gone well. I mean, there's been some losers in the deal, but you didn't have a net winning season because you didn't try anything.
For sure. And I think when I was younger, one, I graduated and Karen and I got married and we had a negative net worth, for sure. And then the second thing is, of course, I couldn't keep any money in my pocket. I was a young guy, taught to invest it, so couldn't really invest in anything big, so I invested in a stock. And then, you know, about a year later, I learned that stocks can go to zero. And I could have then just been a quitter and said, well, I'm never doing that again. I'm going to keep all my money in the bank and have a savings account today. But no, you're exactly right. Just because you have a losing experience, don't quit the game. There's no professional team that's been undefeated. I'm sure there's one, but they all lose a game. You're going to have some losers and some winners, and don't let one losing experience wreck your whole career. Just evaluate, learn from it, try again, and try and make good decisions, and just understand everyone's not going to be perfect.
I was just thinking the comments of humility, ambition. Spent a lot of time on ambition. You mentioned humility, being grounded in that. I'm just thinking people that we get to work with, farmers are awesome. You run into a personality where they think they know everything, and of course, it's not like we do either. Nobody knows everything, but you run into somebody that isn't willing to take critique, advice, any direction at all, or comes to you looking for advice and doesn't listen to any of it. You think, man, you really don't find yourself engaged to help that person when they feel like they don't have anything to learn. So I'd say it's the most fun to help people to look at you to gain something from you in the form of wisdom. Who doesn't want to share wisdom?
Yeah.
If you think you know something, you can share with somebody. But if you don't think you can learn anything, it's hard to have anybody teach you.
Yeah.
So one question when you think about, you know, young people, what are the things to do? How do you get into this? What would you avoid? And this could be personal habits, vices, negative people you already mentioned. Don't hang around people that say you can't do it. Anything else that as a young person you would avoid as a life discipline? I'm not going to do this. Or maybe in the positive sense, I'm going to get up early every day. Anything you would say, what's going to drive a person to success? That's general, but maybe specifically for things. Anything you would or wouldn't do as a daily practice for a young person that says they want to do something?
I would say yes, but you know, the things I think about, hang around people that are positive and hang around people that genuinely want you to be successful. That would be one thing. And for all of us out there, everybody can do that. And one thing I don't like doing, when you hang around people that are always cutting down other people, that's a good sign. Just try not to hang around that person. or try and help them is probably the most important thing. But don't get in the habit of talking about other people in negative ways. Hang around people that are trying to build people up. And when you find somebody like that, try and help them to switch their attitude. I think attitude's everything. Hang around winners, and there's a lot of winners out there. And the young people can influence people to be winners, and they can be influenced to be winners. But if you hang around winners, you're going to be a winner. And if you hang around the negative people, you're going to complain a lot.
I think really being genuine, right? Genuine and reaching out and helping people can do amazing things for you, right? You can be extremely ambitious, and then if you can be genuine at the same time, it's amazing to find that kind of personality.
Yeah.
We've got some great leaders in our company that are that way.
Yeah. Spencer, you said it earlier. I don't know if we were even recording then, but you said, yeah, you're kind of the average of the 10 people you hang around with or something like that. Mm-hmm. So just think about that. You seriously, you kind of are who you hang around. And so hang around people you like.
Yeah. You just both mentioned something, helping. You know, find that they help them. And you just think of anybody that struggles immediately struggles less when they turn away from their own needs and starts helping somebody else.
Yeah.
I think an attitude of service or genuine concern for others is a huge thing because people sense that. And then they want to help you even more. Whatever your goals are in life, if somebody senses that you care and you're a good person, they'll help you. Anyway, I think that's great.
Hey, Spencer, just I want to circle back because we talk about helping young farmers get started and maybe, you know, a little bit the young farmers who maybe don't have the chance to get back home or maybe some city kids who for some reason have interest in raising pigs. You know, I wasn't raised on a family farm. But my grandparents were farmers, my uncles were farmers, and so I had a lot of exposure. That's how I got my passion for livestock. But I would encourage, like, for the guys who are sitting out there saying, those guys are, it's a long shot. I would say, how can Pipestone help you guys? We know 650 pig farmers, and we know them all really well. And we know some farmers that do have opportunities to transition to maybe non-family members and would consider it. And so if there's listeners out there who really sincerely want to get introduced to an opportunity like that, I'd say reach out to somebody like Spencer or myself or Justin or Luke. We'd love to make that connection. And worst case scenario, after a year, doesn't work. But best case scenario, let's say even one out of five, it becomes a lifelong career for some young person who got matched up with some farmer, who that farmer is then very happy because they found somebody to transition all the work they have done to somebody that they think will be a good steward of their property. What a story. And so back to the message, we can help the young listeners here who think that they don't have a shot. You just reach out to us. Don't feel shy about that or weird about it. Just call and say, hey, Barry, or hey, Spencer, you guys said you could find a person or two. I'd just like to get introduced and have a shot.
Yeah. Okay. I just thought of something, too. We're really framing all this up as how do you get started as an independent pig farmer, but really we just said into pig farming.
Yeah.
We operate, we manage farmers' assets on pig farms and have a large a group of employed people, professionals that raise pigs. That's pig farming, too. And I wouldn't want to make a quick plug for, we're always looking for good people here to work on farms, to manage farms, to work with people and manage people to do good things. So we didn't pay any attention to that, but that's what we
do. It's a great opportunity.
We have how many employees within our managed company right now, management company?
I was at the farm level, we have about 850.
Yeah.
We manage about 72 farms today. That means there's 72 managers and 200 department leads, and there's 20 production leadership positions that are higher than that. Tremendous opportunity for the pig business, and that's just on the production side. But the pig business is a lot bigger than that. You have records information, you have Justin's financial team, you have the veterinary side, you have the support staff. Mm-hmm. We have tremendous opportunities. So all listeners, if you want a job, just come apply to Pipestone. So
yeah. Anyway, we spent a lot of time talking about the independent farmer. Well, there's lots of ways to
do
farming, including what we're doing here. Okay, so I think that's a pretty good wrap up point for the discussion. Thank you both.
Yeah, thank you, Spencer.
Thanks for our listeners also. Thank you for listening to this episode of Swine Time Podcast here at Pipestone.
Swine Time Podcast was created for the pork industry and individual pork producers around the country. Hosted by Dr. Spencer Wayne with the Pipestone Veterinary Services, the podcast contains pork industry news, advancements in animal care, and how to enhance your productivity. Monthly podcasts are available on Spotify, Google Music, iTunes, Anchor, and on www.pipestone.com.